I think you're applauding because I didn't sing that. Last year, I think it was last year or the year before, I told my wife, who I normally listen to, that, you know, I think I'm going to say, you know, I'm not your founder, I'm not your father, you know, I'm kind of more like your crazy uncle who comes once a year. And my wife said, don't say that, don't say that. And I said it anyway, and she cringed, you know, like she does a lot. And everybody loved it. Now they call it Crazy Uncle Sunday, you know, which is fantastic. And the one thing about being the crazy uncle who comes once, you know, at Thanksgiving is you can say stuff and people forgive you. They don't necessarily forgive me real readily down in Columbia City, Indiana, but here I can do that, you know, and you don't have to put up with me for another year. It's really neat to be with Pastor Mitch and Susan. We see each other some, but they're usually gone. One of the reasons they're here is because their son Spencer hit a deer this week. Where's Spencer? You're like me, Spencer. I only hit what I can eat. I'm a real hunter, you know. I feel really old. I saw babies today of people that I had married, and it's like those babies didn't exist the last time I was here. Then I saw teens that used to be babies. Now I see adults who used to be teens. And now I see adults, you know, who have different color hair than they had the last time I saw them. But I'd take it any way I could get it, so you know how that goes. Kind of as your crazy uncle, one of the things that I would say is that song that you sang said cheers. I have this idea that instead of the sign cheers, it should look the same so people would know where it's coming from, but it ought to say church. And instead of established, whatever it was, 1963 or whatever it was on that sign at cheers, it should say established AD 33. And instead of a finger pointing down, there should be a finger pointing up, because that's really the church. See, it's not a bar that makes you feel good, because you probably won't even remember being there. It's really the church that helps us understand that making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. They're awfully glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. And that's not a tavern. That's the church. The church is supposed to be that. Now, I also understand it's the first Sunday in Advent, but it's kind of weird being, you know, still in November. And that's really a pastor's prerogative to do that. And so I'm not going to talk about Advent today, not much anyway. I'm going to talk a little about holidays and how you can help people. But really what I want to talk to you about today is helping each other to be that place where everybody knows your name, where people come in here, they don't think they have to be extra special good. They don't have to think that they got to be something that they know inside they're not. They want to be where people know that troubles are all the same. And they want to be in a place where everybody, or at least a bunch, know your name. That's what people are really looking for. In the sitcom Cheers, the main character is Sam Malone. And you remember his nickname? Who knows Sam Malone's nickname? What is it? Mayday Malone! Give that man a Cupid doll! I actually bought a Cupid doll! I have it, but I couldn't use it for a few weeks because she was modestly challenged. Some kids in my church, I said, give that man a Cupid. And kids would look at me like they didn't know what a Cupid doll was, so I bought one. It's this little doll they used to give when you would win something at the fair. They'd give you a Cupid doll. And so I got a pair of nice bloomers for this Cupid doll that come from here all the way down. And I throw it out when somebody, so you would get a Cupid doll if I brought mine. Mayday Malone. See, Mayday Malone was a relief pitcher. See, normally they have a starting pitcher. And the starting pitcher does as well as he can, but very often by about the sixth or seventh inning, starting pitcher will start to get tired. And the velocity will go down from 102, 98 miles an hour down to 90, down to 85, and the balls start to get hit. Runners start to advance, and they know they got to take that guy out, even though he's in the lead. They got to take that guy out and they got to put a relief pitcher in there to what the game. What do they call that? Save the game. To save the game. This guy doesn't get a win, this relief pitcher. He doesn't get a win. He gets a save. This guy gets the win because he started it. There are very many times in our Christian life where we need somebody like that. Actually, that's exactly the way the church is supposed to be. Sam owns this place called Cheers, and he's a retired pitcher from the Boston Red Sox. According to Webster's, May Day is a call for help. As the pitcher becomes tired, they bring in this guy whose expertise is three innings or less, and he finishes the game for the other pitcher. And there are many times in our Christian life that there are people who give out a Mayday call. And one of the problems is we don't always recognize it. So I want to help you with that a little bit today. We are really called to do the same. We are called to be relief pitchers in life. Very often we watch someone struggle rather than help them finish strong. The Scripture tells us that our faith is not a private matter. Our faith is not a private matter. Sometimes you'll hear people say that. Well, you know, my faith is a private matter. No, it's not! No, it's not. As a matter of fact, the commands in the epistles that we're going to look at today, none of those are in the single second person singular, which would be, Mitch, you go out and get me a coffee. You don't have to do that, but if you do, it'd be all right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. See, that's a singular command. I'm talking to Mitch. If I say, you go out, and, but if I say, you all be cognizant of the fact that there are people around you struggling, that's a plural command. That's exactly what we see today. And the vast majority, I mean in the 90% of those commands that are second person in the Bible are second person plural. They talk to all of us. And so faith is not a private matter. It is a public matter. It is one in which we enter privately to be involved publicly with each other. And corporately with each other. The Scriptures tell us that we are called to help one another. You are called to help others. God does not want spiritual collapse to happen to anyone. Sometimes in the church, you know, we just kind of let people drift away. And we just kind of go like this because we really don't know what to do. People helped me at a difficult time in my life and I appreciate it. And we need to be that to each other. It's interesting to me as you look at that, that very often people don't know what to do, so they do nothing. Very often you'll say, hey, where's so-and-so? I haven't seen him, you know, in worship for a long time. And when you have two worships, now we started two worships down in Indiana. See, it's really been neat. We came to a troubled church. Things are really going well. We had 228 last week, which is just phenomenal for a church that was basically in the throes of a split. And we've just seen such neat things. We had a Thanksgiving service on Tuesday, not Wednesday because we were leaving. And everybody, we live where everybody goes to. You know how people leave and go places on Thanksgiving? We're where they come to, okay? Little place in Indiana. And people came to us, and we did one on Tuesday because everybody on Wednesday is waiting for their relatives to come. That's kind of the national sport there, is waiting for your relatives to come. And at least on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And there was a guy that a year ago wasn't in the church. He owns Big Boar Cycles in Columbus City. His son was in a horrible accident. And I led him to the Lord in the hospital. Everything came to Christ. And this guy comes with the black, you know, Harley t-shirt. And you think he has a green undershirt on? I assure you he doesn't. And he stands up on Thanksgiving service and talks about how good God's been to him and his family through these people. And they were like me. They didn't really get him when he came, you know, but they were there for him. You don't have to get everybody. He didn't get me. You know, I didn't get him. He didn't get me. But I loved him. And, you know, probably a lot of good things have happened to me in ministry. This big, burly guy came up to me after service on Tuesday, put his arms around me. And you got to know this guy and where he's been. And he said, Pastor, I just want you to know one thing.
And all of a sudden he chokes up, and I've really not seen that, just when the son was hurt. And we baptized both of them the week before the son went to prison. I mean, just fantastic stuff. And he just got out, and they were there in Thanksgiving service together. This big tear comes and he goes, "I love you, Pastor." And I want to say, "I'm really glad you're my friend, because I think I'd hate for you to be my enemy." You know what I mean? There are people like that. See, we need people like that. We need people like that. Very often when people go away, you know, we have two services. And you know what we do sometimes? Somebody slips away and we say something like that. Well, they're probably going to the first service. And you know they're not. We just say things like that because we want to make ourselves feel better sometimes. I know I do. Problem is, I'm at both and I know they're not there. And then someone will say, "Well, you know, we don't know what happened. They just kind of fell apart." God doesn't want anybody to fall apart without us doing everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen. Are you with me? See, that is just huge. That is just huge. Because there's a real danger. I'm going to read a couple of different sets of verses and just talk a little bit about them today and about how we need to be the relief pitcher in other people's lives. And sometimes we need to allow people to be the relief pitcher in our lives because it will happen to us as well. In James chapter 5, and we're going to be in the Galatian passage a lot, but in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, we don't talk about this enough because mostly we don't like it. It says, brothers. So these people are what? Brothers. They're Christians. Brothers, if one of you, one of the whom? Brothers. One of the Christians, one of the brothers, should wander from the truth. That word wander is an interesting word because it really means to be deceived. But not so much. It just means to get your eye on something else and just to kind of start looking after that. You're not really getting mad at Jesus and saying, "I don't want anything to do with you anymore." It's just all of a sudden your eye gets transfixed on something else. And you just kind of start to go. If you've ever taught somebody how to drive, that's interesting because they get their eye on something else. And all of a sudden you start to go and you start, "Stop weaving, man." You know, start to go in the middle of the road. The yellow line's there for a reason. Start to do that. See, they're not saying, "Gee, I think I'll get in an accident today." They're not doing that. They're just kind of looking at something and they just kind of wander off. And then things that they knew when they were back here were wrong don't really seem so wrong. They just kind of seem like the natural consequence of where I am now. Are you with me? That's when we intercede for someone. That's when we come in and we help them. He says there, if any one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back. So it's important to bring them back. Whoever brings them back turns a sinner. So the brother has become a wanderer and now he or she is a sinner. We don't like that at all. From the error of his or her way, will save him or her from death. So we go from brother to wanderer to sinner to deceased spiritually. Ooh, and we don't like to think about that. We're going to talk a little more about that. It says, we'll save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And so we get them back to where they need to be. Getting tired in the late innings is a real possibility. We are a team. We do not allow another member of the team to be in trouble without intervention. Sometimes the danger happens because of pain. People have pain for a lot of different reasons. In Philippians 2:4, it says, I think this is real important because it means we should be aware of where people are. It says in Philippians 2:4, says, each of you should look not only on your own interests, but also on the interests of others. In the Greek, I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. Greek runs a tailor shop and the Hebrew runs a delicatessen. But in Hebrews 2:4 it says, see, if you look in the Old King James, it says, look not on your own things, but also on the things of others. They don't know what to do with that word, ta. That's the word. Actually, I would translate it stuff.
Each one of you, that's singular, should not look on his own stuff, but on the stuff of others. We all go through our own stuff. And when we're going through our stuff and we're maybe wandering away, it's very important that someone leaves their stuff and comes and gets us. It's also very important that when we see somebody wandering away, we leave our stuff and we go and get them because they need to be gotten. Let me tell you what that doesn't mean. When my first church I served was way up in the mountains above Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And there was a lady. Her name was Rosie. I hope there is a Rosie. I'm sorry, Rosie. There is a Rosie here, but that was her name. She was a little old lady, and she came to church 5 times a year. But she knew more than I did, and I was there 49 Sundays a year. And I would go and see her because she was supposedly sick, but she sure could go out on Saturday night for dinner, but we won't discuss that. And I'd go to see her, and it was very interesting because she started telling me how certain people in the church, how terrible they were and what they did. She knew the dirt on everybody. And one day I just looked at her. I'd been there about 2 years, and I felt like I could do this. And I said, Rosie, answer me something. How is it that I'm in church 49 Sundays a year, you're there 5, and you know more than I do? And she said, I'm there more than 5 times. Well, I knew she was going to say that. So I pulled out my little sheet of paper. And I said, no, you're not. There they are. I don't always do that, but every now and then I can be a jerk. And she looks at him and she goes, well, maybe. And then she started to talk about this lady who had come to the Lord and been gloriously saved. And she said, I don't know what she's doing in the church. She just used to lie around in the bars while her kids ran around. And see, I'm not great at anger. I'm great at funny. Reasonably acceptable at funny. And so I thought, I could get really mad at her. And she's always mad, and she's better at mad than I am. So I'll be funny. She's not good at funny. And I looked at her and I said, well, bless the Lord! And she went like this. And I thought, man, if she has a heart attack, I get $100 and I'm done with my problem. You know what I mean? She died. But she didn't. She didn't. That's terrible, isn't it? Told you I could be a jerk. She grabs her chest, you know. She goes, what are you doing? And I said, isn't that wonderful? She used to hang around in bars. She doesn't do that anymore. She's with her kids. Isn't that what grace is all about, Rosie? She just looked at me. And the sad thing was, it wasn't to her. It wasn't to her. That's not what that means, to look at other people's stuff. Because I said to her, why do you do that? And she goes, well, I'm just doing what the Bible says. And I said, well, tell me what the Bible says. And she says, we're not to look at our own things, but on the things of others. I said, that ain't what that means, Rosie. I might not know what it means, but it don't mean that. Sometimes people have pain, folks. And that's one of the reasons real dangers happen. Sometimes pain happens because we do dumb stuff. Sometimes pain happens for no particular reason. A lot of things can happen. An illness, the death of a child, the unexpected death of a friend or a parent, financial collapse. You fill in the blank. But it's interesting. You remember, I don't understand, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand cartoons today. I'll watch a cartoon and I don't get it. I do get Wile E. Coyote and a Roadrunner. I get that one. I love that. And you know, the poor Wile E. Coyote, he tries so hard, and sometimes he's just going around and an anvil just comes. You ever see that? The anvil! Where'd the anvil come from? I don't know. But it just comes out of the sky. That happens to people. That happens to people. I'll tell you what else I don't understand. This is for free. I don't understand average commercials on TV either. I sit there and I watch them. It's something to do with being 50. But I'll watch them and I'll look at my wife and they get done. And I might have even laughed at it. And I look at her and I said, what were they trying to sell me? Because I don't know. I might even buy one if I knew.
I don't know. It's the same thing with cartoons. Wile E. Coyote, I get. Anvil smashes him. That happens in life. Pain happens. The one thing I am going to say about Advent is this is when people slip away sometimes. Because you know what? Sometimes there is insurmountable pain in their lives. And everybody is all happy about it being the holidays and everybody's singing. I love Thanksgiving. I'm marginally accepting of Christmas because of all the other stuff, but I mean, I like it. But it's interesting to me that this is when people sometimes slip away because they've had so much pain and it's their first Christmas without, and fill in the blank, grandma, mom or dad, husband. First service, a dear lady I talked to, and she said, my husband died a few months ago. And I just like, oh, gosh. See, the pain is still there. First thing she said to me, I'm so-and-so, and my husband died. And see, this is when people can wander away, and this is when we throw our arms around them, and we don't let them. They don't mean to. They just do. Sometimes a brother or sister will have real emotional pain in his or her life, which can affect them spiritually. Often we withdraw from them or they withdraw from us and we let them because we don't like their pain any more than we like our own. And this shouldn't happen. And so what are we called to do? Well, we're called to help them have a perspective. Often pain will make this wandering away in James, this being deceived, so to speak. That's where it comes from. That wandering away just means to put your eyes on something else and be attracted that way. It'll make it easier. It's the job of other believers to help this person gain perspective and see that God is still there. That He is there and He is not silent. But how do they see that? They see it through His children. They see it through us. Your flaws are not fatal, we say to them. Your failures are not final. And though you are faint, you still have a future. That's what we are to say to people. I want to say something else to you as well. That sometimes when we talk about this very real danger, sometimes we let it get there and it didn't have to in the first place. Prevention is very important too. What we see there is we see that there's pain. We see we need to help people with perspective. But we also need to realize that the earlier we start, the more prevention is there. Very often when we let a person be alone in their struggle, we let them be there for way too long. We are to help refresh a person before we have to restore them. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, and that sin is a breaking. It's not the word armatia, which means they're trying real hard, but they're missing the mark. It really means that they've been given a direct order, and because they've kind of wandered away this way, they just do something else. They break the chain of command, so to speak. It says, we're to help refresh a person. And it says there, you that are spiritual should restore him gently. When you see it happening, the word restore there is the neatest word. You remember when Jesus meets Peter and his brother Andrew and they're at the seashore and it says they were doing something to their nets. Do you remember what it was? Mending. That's the word here. You who are spiritual, mend to this person. Now, sometimes there is a restoration when a person has definitely broken something. This one is when they're kind of in the middle of bending it. Do you understand what I mean? They're kind of in the middle of bending it. You come up and you go, you know, you got a hole in your net, pal. Let's get you to the seaside and let's mend those nets. See, that prevents them from wandering away and being subject to death. That prevents them from knowing that there is a direct order given from the commander and breaking it and being AWOL, so to speak. Secondly, there is a rejection that is deliberate. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes people are very deliberate. They reject assistance. Their wandering becomes deliberate. Be careful not to explain wandering away. It's pretty important. Sometimes I will hear people say there are a couple of parameters, you know, that we want to avoid. A couple of lengths. You know, we talk about the pendulum swinging from extreme to extreme. A couple of extremes we want to avoid. The one we want to avoid is that when someone is looking like a sinner, acting like a sinner, smelling like a sinner, and hanging around with sinners, to say, oh, they're just a child of God who's just a little out of the way. Sometimes grandma will say that because she doesn't want to think this person, this is a child wandering onto I-69, and you know what happens. We have to avoid that. Carnality is not a saint living like a sinner. A saint living like a sinner is a sinner. Okay? Carnality is a saint trying to live in his or her own strength and not the strength of the Holy Spirit. That's carnality. And we really got that messed up. The other extreme is that any little thing we do wrong, it's kind of like our flower is the daisy. He loves me, he loves me not. And we got to get away from that too. We all have flaws. We all have failures. They're not final. Okay? They're not fatal. It's all right. But we need to be the church and come towards each other and help one another at the appropriate time. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, let us, that's a hortatory subjunctive. I just wanted you to know that I learned something in seminary. It means it's a we command. We have those you commands, those plural you commands. This is a we command. Let us not become weary in well-doing. Weariness very often is physical. But when physical weariness goes on for a little while, it becomes mental and spiritual. And the word here should probably be translated disillusioned. Let us not become disillusioned in well-doing. Sometimes people do everything in the church. They work hard, and they're giving, and they're not getting anything back. And they get on empty. And when your car gets on empty, it starts to jerk. That's kind of what happens to people. So what's the solution? Well, number one, everybody should be doing something. That seems to be a no-brainer to me. But I've been ministering 27 years, and I just must be stupid because it doesn't happen. Or it needs to. And so very often people don't. So we all need to help. But when we see somebody kind of burning out, we need to come alongside them because fatigue happens. Well, what do they need? They need good done to them. Good is a really wide term. In verse 10 it says, therefore as we have opportunity, actually time. Why don't we do good things to people? Very often because we don't have the... Yeah. As you have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the household of faith. I love that term. And so what are we supposed to do when somebody is struggling and maybe won't tell us because they're really good givers but really lousy receivers? That there's a lot of that in the church. People would write out a check if they had it in a minute, but to take one, they couldn't do that. You understand what I mean? Oh, I can't do that. Well, sure you can. Because some days you'll be a taker, and some days you'll be a giver. And it's okay. That's how givers learn to give. There got to be receivers. Are you with me? We're all there sometimes. And so sometimes the good is if somebody needs a house payment, we pay it. They need somebody just to come and get them and say, we're taking you for a day away. You don't need to be with all this mess right now. We just do it. This is part of prevention. Knowing who is getting weary. Knowing who is getting weary. Then there's faithlessness. Not just fatigue, but faithlessness. In James 5:20, it says there, if anyone, I'll read that. Says, my brothers, if anyone among you should wander from the truth and someone bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. see that save a soul through death, they become faithless. Fatigue sometimes can go into faithlessness. When we don't send in a reliever at the proper time, a person can be in danger of fatigue turning to faithlessness. Look at the progression in James. Brother becomes a wanderer, becomes a sinner, becomes deceased. Somewhere in between that wanderer and sinner, when we notice there's a problem, we have to get in there. Remember, if a person looks like a sinner, acts like a sinner, hangs out with sinners, they're probably a sinner. But it is important for us to understand that even when rejection becomes deliberate, people have a possibility of returning. And you can be involved in that. We need to come up and go alongside people. And that comes because there is a restoration design. In these passages, there is a plan for rest, relief, and if needed, restoration. First of all, people need refreshment. In Galatians 6:2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You see somebody carrying something too heavy, and they're starting to stagger. You don't just look at them and say, I think they're going to fall down. Somebody doesn't do something, they're going to hit the carpet. No, you go on and you help them finish strong. There's refreshment. Some people just need a little encouragement. That's why it says in verse 9, let us not become weary in well-doing. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. It's a wide term. Some people just need a little encouragement and a little help to do right and to continue on to victory. The word for comfort in the Bible is parakaleo. It means to call alongside. It's the word for encourage somebody. There's a noun, paraclete, and it's a name for the Holy Spirit. He's the one who comes alongside us and helps us. That word, paraclete, or parakaleo, paraklesis, comes from a nautical term. When a fishing boat was coming in and had too many fish, they wanted to get every fish they could on there. Sometimes when the waves were a bit rocky, water would start to come and it looked like they were going to sink. There was a special boat called a paraclete, and it was flat-bottomed. It's a lot like the idea is like our tugboats. Obviously, they didn't have motors, but it's like our tugboats. This flat-bottomed boat was really great within about 500 yards of shore. And they would go out and they would hook on to this boat that was beginning to go like this, that did really great out in the ocean, but coming in to the shore with too much could capsize. This flat-bottomed boat would come out, attach itself to the side, and bring it in to shore safely. That's what we're supposed to do for each other. And that's what Jesus did for you. If you're a believer, that's what He did for you. He came alongside you when you were about to sink. That's what the cross is all about. You can't earn your salvation. You get it because He came alongside you and went on that cross for you and paid a debt He didn't owe so you could pay a debt you couldn't pay. That's the key in all of this. You owed a debt you couldn't pay. He paid a debt He didn't owe. That's what Christianity is. We need that refreshment. We need relief. Sometimes a person just needs someone to come and help them finish. Many times we're the spectators in the stands watching someone go down, and we need to be the one person who comes out and helps them. And we also see reorganization. After seeing the pattern of crisis, believers need to have built-in plans so it doesn't happen again. When you look at Galatians 6 and James 5, what you begin to see is that when we see this pattern occurring and someone wandering away, someone thinking, hey, this is a really good idea to break this, and you're saying, oh, that's a really bad idea, we begin to come up with a plan when we see that so it doesn't happen very often. When we moved down to Indiana, and we do thank you for praying that we sold our house. When we sold our house, we moved to Indiana, and we got a house, and you know, we started talking about, now, if a fire would happen. Well, I don't want to talk about fires. How many people want to talk about fires? I just bought a house. But you got to talk about that, because guess what? It happens sometimes. We live near a fire station. I hear it go off too much. It happens. So you figure out, how do we get Avery out the window, you know? What's the best way to get him out of the house? And it's like, see this window here? Get out of there. He had a friend come over one day and thought it was funny, rather than to come in the door, to come in the window. So we do know how the window comes out. But we started talking about that and said, you know, maybe that's a really good idea to say, yeah, go out that window. Don't try to come through the house. We have these evacuation plans. We need to have those when we see someone struggle in their Christian life. We need to have a plan. We need not to be the 50,000 people in a stadium watching someone struggle. We need to be the one who comes out and helps them finish strong. That's what you're called to do here in this place.